Now, let me ask you something. Is there anybody in here that you just have too much money? You just have too much money. You just want to give a little bit of it back. You want to give a little bit of it away. Is there anybody in here that your health is just too good? Really, you know, you just have too much of your good health. Is anybody in here, you just have too many good memories of your family? You really don't need any more. You see where I'm going with this, don't you? However, I'm telling you, and you know as well as I do, we've met people, and it always surprises you. I see you guys fanning yourself like crazy. Can I have an usher address well, we got three people jumped up. That's awesome. See, whenever Pastor Dave speaks, that's really not true, but it sounded funny, didn't it? But I really want to be careful that I don't make this as a judgmental statement. But I'm going to tell you what, I meet an awful lot of people that they seem to just have enough of Christ. They really don't need any more Christ. They don't need a whole lot more of the Spirit. They're good with where they are. They really don't want to have a lot more of God, if you will. I don't know if it's the thing that they go, well, this will cost me, or this is a lot more energy, or this is going to take more effort. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I see a lot of people living marginal Christian existences, and it's a sad thing. I saw it when I went to college. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it when youth ministry. I've seen it in churches. And listen, I am not telling you that I'm here, that I know every answer about this, but I do know one thing. I was trying to live for Jesus for a year without any influence through the Holy Spirit because I didn't really know the Holy Spirit exists. And remember, it was just about 2 weeks ago, we wrapped up our Holy Spirit conference. And when I found out that the Holy Spirit could have an influence in your life, and I read John 10:10, which we'll look at in just a second, I liked what I saw, that there is an abundant life. And it didn't feel like somebody was hiding it from me. I just didn't know what it was there. And I said, I want that abundant life. Now, this is what I wanted out of the abundant life. I wanted the ability to live for Jesus consistently. I was tired of not being able to feel really Christ in my life. And you know what? Quite honestly, it boiled down to, as I was trying to do things for Jesus, it all came down to performance and ability versus just what the Holy Spirit does in being with you and in you. So that's where I got introduced to the abundance of life of Christ, and I wanted to go there. Because I'm going to tell you what, we live in a world with a lot of unhappy people. There's a lot of people that are dissatisfied. Now, I robbed a couple of things from a couple of different authors, and I want to share some of those with you tonight. One of them said, here's the symptoms of those unhappy, dissatisfied people. There's divorce, suicide, drug dependency, alcohol abuse, criminal behavior, prostitution, sexual impurity, depression, pornography, eating disorders, emotional and psychological disorders, and hopefully none of you fit into those categories. However, when it comes to our Christian existence, we still find ourselves in areas that we're very unsatisfied. We don't feel like God's really using us. We don't feel His touch on our heart, and God says, this is not what I want for you. So we got a lot of solutions, and they wrote some of these: materialism and wealth, pleasure and enjoyment, power and prestige, religion, wisdom and understanding. We got a world out there that's looking for the abundant life that Jesus talks about. Everybody has an answer, but the Bible says this: there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it produces death. When I've tried to take my own efforts and produce the abundant life, when I've taken my own efforts and even try to live the Christian life, I usually end up being a little unsatisfied because it's me trying to do it. This flesh can only do so much. Now, I can try to keep my mouth shut. I can try to keep from saying four-letter words. I can try to keep from looking at certain things. I can try to keep from getting away from certain influences, get rid of bad influences. But all of that's just discipline. I don't want to have to live in a disciplined world. I want the discipline to be fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit while I'm living an abundant life. I don't want to have a life that I have to refuel it every day. Now, when Paul said, I die daily, what he was talking about is I make a recommitment every day to not go back to the sinful things that used to rule my life. That's what he's talking about. And we all should do that, die daily to those sinful things. But I don't want to have to get up every day and go, wow, I just got to get all pumped up again. I got to listen to a tape, or I got to read a book just to get out of bed. That's not the abundant life, ladies and gentlemen, and you know it. But God said there's more than that. John 10:10. When I read this, it just became my favorite verse of Scripture. If anybody, if you've been spending any time with me at all, you know this is my favorite verse of Scripture. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and we know who the thief is. If God is here to give us abundant life through his Holy Spirit, then Satan is there to try to take any life away from us. Steal, kill, and destroy. You know what? I've said this so many times. There are so many people that used to be in church. They used to be on fire, if you will. They used to be right in the middle of things. They used to be in the worship team. They used to be deacons. They used to be good, solid people. They used to teach Sunday school, all of these things. But you know what? They had a problem. Maybe they had a failure, moral failure, whatever. And Satan won that battle. He stole their ability to put their face in that church because of the shame that they had experienced. He robbed them of all of that thing, the joy. He killed all of that ability. He took their testimony. Can I just tell you something? Satan may trip us up a little bit, but he can't take anything from us that God has given us. You know, we relinquish that. We give it up. And that's not what a part of the abundant life either. So it says here, the thief comes in the night only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, speaking of Jesus, he's the one talking. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. But in the King James Version, it says this, that they might have it more abundantly. So what did Jesus mean when he said you have life to the full, this abundant life? I looked the definition of full up. This is what it says. Complete, perfect, being at the highest or the greatest degree, the maximum. Too often we settle for the minimum. Too often we start looking for the low hurdles, and that's good enough. Too often we start looking around and deciding, I'll never make it, or I'll never measure up, or, you know, I'm doing my best, but I don't see like I'm really going to be successful. And we just settle for minimum instead of maximum. We just kind of get marginalized. It's easier to just kind of not have to work hard and just settle for what you have. You know what? I'm telling you, we all know this, but sooner or later we just have to wake up to the fact we have settled for way too little. And it's not that you're supposed to rise above somebody else. God doesn't rob somebody from their blessing so that you can be blessed. This isn't about diminishing anybody else's spiritual life. This is about the spiritual life that Jesus gave you. I mean, wouldn't you be pretty disappointed if the fact were known that Jesus died for your sins, but it was up to you as to how many of your sins he really forgave? Are you kidding me? I'm glad that Jesus forgave them all. He didn't leave it up to me. Because I would look in the mirror and start making excuses about, you know, I didn't mean to do this and didn't mean to do that. And then I start realizing I really haven't done a very good job anyway. And I'd leave the situation defeated. But instead, we should have a degree of victory in everything that we do. We're not perfect, but man, we are redeemed. And we need to start living it. We need to start experiencing it. It's called the abundant life. God desires that his kids live a full life, not just measured in happiness and peace and genuine friendship with God, but the abundance of his Spirit in us. And it's something that you can see, and it's something that can be measured. So I wish I knew what to do tonight. I wish I knew the right gimmick to get you all fired up. I wish I knew what to say to just make you so desire it. But, you know, there again, that's some of the problem. Too often the abundant life has been delivered as a pep rally instead of the realization that Jesus came to set us free. He didn't came to just wind us up and get us all fired up and push a button, and then you go as long as you can. And when you get tired again, come back, we'll wind you up all over again. That's what people do. That's why they want revival, because they need something to stir them again. We chase all of the latest trends. We chase the latest speaker or the latest worship song or whatever, seeking the very thing that God gives us freely on an individual basis, and it's called the abundant life. So whether you believe it or not, whether you didn't realize it or not, there is an abundant life. Now, I'm going to take a couple angles that are more common sense than spiritual, but let's go there just for a second, for my sake, okay? There's two sides of this coin. The first side is this. The abundant living of a life is filled with the things that are good for us. If we are living in the abundant life, there are things that indicate that abundant life. Let me give them to you real quick. People who enjoy the abundant life are going to possess an awful lot of these qualities. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Sounds pretty familiar, isn't it? You go to Galatians 5:22 and you'll find this list. Compassion, purity, humility, modesty, faith, character, wisdom, enthusiasm. It's okay to get excited every now and then, isn't it? Dignity, optimism. It's okay to have a positive outlook, isn't it? Okay, good. I just want to hear you're okay with that. Confidence, honesty, and a great relationship with God. Notice every one of those things cannot be bought with money. People have tried and failed. They've had an abundance of money, and they've used that abundance of money trying to buy those things through friendships, you name it, and it's never worked. The other side of the coin is, here are the things that, as we're abundant life livers, that we should be free from these things that are bad for us. Here's the other side of the coin. Everyone who lives the abundant life, we avoid these negative characteristics at all costs. Selfishness, hatred, lust, unforgiveness, envy, jealousy, fear, drunkenness, sexual immorality, discord, fits of rage, dishonesty, greed, gossiping, slander, pessimism, and despair. You want me to stop right there? Me too. I don't even have any of those in my life. Now, they creep into my life. I'm tempted to do. Remember, Satan's still on the steal, kill, and destroy path. He's really good at that. He's never given up that fight, by the way. Well, you may have cleared the hurdle, but he's still in the race, and you got to be paying attention to that. The more these things are a part of our life and the more of our behavior, the more we see ourselves being further and further distanced from a great relationship with God. And that's where we begin to feel defeated. And that's when we begin to understand we don't live an abundant life. But God says he wants us to. But there's hope. Remember 1 Corinthians 6:11? And this is what some of you were. This is Paul talking to these Corinthians. He had to straighten them out. They were doing some crazy things. They were getting drunk at communion. I mean, they just had this messed up idea of what church was and what you could do and what you couldn't do. He said, but this is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Sometimes we minimize the work of what the Holy Spirit has done. Listen, I know as well as you do what we've done in the past. God knows what we've done. That verse of Scripture that says he has forgotten our sins doesn't mean that he doesn't have record. It means that he has chosen to forget it when it comes to putting it a part of our account. He looks through the lens of Jesus Christ and his blood that redeemed us and washed us free. That's what he's looking at. So let me give you another point. Abundant life is found in Christ and nowhere else. A lot of people have looked for it. They have tried. Don't you just think it's almost ridiculous? These people have so much money. They're even thinking, you know what? I'll just get frozen and come back in about 20,000 years. You know, whatever. I think that's science fiction or something, isn't it? It just cracks me up, the things that people will do when they have the resources to do it. All along, there's this free resource in a relationship with God that gives you everything that you need for here. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of that, you realize whatever was really built to stay here all my life anyway. I was always designed for there. Guys, listen, this is just the trial run for what we're going to be there. You know that, don't you? This is just us in preparation for what we're going to be like in eternity. So let's get it right, but let's make sure that we're a part of the abundant life when we do that, because that's what everything is all about. Everyone who does not have Jesus in this life will not have an abundant life. Now, there's an awful lot of people out there that are happy because they've surrounded themselves with things that make them happy, relationships or whatever. And you can't measure this whether they're poor or whether they're rich. I mean, there's people that are genuinely happy, but they're not living the abundant life. They've just gotten enough stuff around them to where they're doing okay, and it's sad how they do that. Have you ever noticed that there's some people out there, there's no way that they're living for Jesus. They don't claim to live for Jesus, but they have a great life. They have a lot of money. They're rich. They're prosperous. Everything falls into their lap. Most of the time when you look at some of those things, you'll understand, you know what, they're doing some of the things the abundant life people do because the principles of the abundant life apply to everybody. It's your soul that is going to make the difference at the end of your life. The reason some of these people are successful because they're doing the successful, abundant life people things. Like they have integrity. They have pride in what they do. They have character. That doesn't mean they know God. You know what that reminds us of? There's an awful lot of people out there. They're good people. They pay their taxes. They do the right thing. They obey the law. They're faithful to their spouses. But one of these days, they're going to die. And when they stand before God, God's going to say, I never knew you. And they're going to say, but I was a good person. I did the right thing. I never did this. I never did that. And God said, but you never knew me. Now, don't ever forget, anybody who goes to hell, they're not going to go to hell because of their sins. They're going to go to hell because they never asked Jesus Christ into their heart. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. Now, understand this, too, that God is inviting everyone to experience abundant life. Abundant life isn't some kind of secret thing that somebody achieves. It's not some spiritual height. You know, and here's the thing. I don't know where you're living. I don't know where you would say, this is where I am. But God says, I don't want you to stay there. I want you to come here. I want you to come up here. I want you to raise the standard. I want you to experience more of me. I want you to, you know, I don't want you to just be happy with people. I want you to be thrilled with people. I don't want you to just praise me because it's the right thing to do. I want you to feel what the Holy Spirit does in you to get you to praise me. I don't want you to obey me because you're afraid you're not going to do the right thing or you might get caught if you're not doing the right thing. No, I want you to obey me because it's your desire, because we have such a great relationship that you want to please me. That's called raising the standard. And that's what God wants in all of us. And that's why he wants to invite every one of us. God's desire is that you and I discover happiness and satisfaction in this life. Timothy 6, verse 17 says this: God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You see, while we're here on earth, God doesn't say, I'm going to put you down. And you know what? I just want you to suffer because it makes you more spiritual. I'm sorry. I understand it was a part of our culture long, long time ago, but the preacher's supposed to be poor, and Christians are supposed to have a hard time, and they're not supposed to be blessed. Can I just tell you, I hope God abundantly blesses every Christian that I know. You know, if you get a raise, I'm excited. If you get an opportunity for a new car, a new house, I want to be excited for you. Why would I not want that for you? God wants it for you. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you just have it all backwards, and God wants us to understand that he's providing all of this. And notice this, too. In John 10:10, it doesn't say this: I come that some may have life to its fullest. No, he says all. This is a group deal. This isn't that he cherry-picks people and says, well, you know, he's been a deacon. Let's bless him, and he's the pastor, and they've taught Sunday school for 25 years. Let's do something nice for them. It's not that at all. God says this for everybody. So if you've eliminated yourself from experiencing the abundant life, you need to get yourself back on the list because you've never got off of it. You were never off God's list. You just eliminated yourself. And God says, I want you to get back involved in this. It's available to everybody, regardless of your circumstances. And that's another cool thing about the abundant life. We'll talk about it in just a second. If you've ever noticed somebody that has the abundant life, regardless of how you measure it, there are people that it's not measured by what's around them. It's not measured by how well good their health is. It's not measured by their checking account. They don't look and see what kind of house or what they drive or what kind of clothes they wear. Man, I'm going to tell you what, some of the happiest people in the world are people that really don't have a whole lot of things. Well, you know why? We've experienced that just going overseas. Here are these people that have next to nothing compared to us. And comparisons are, listen, we're not going to go into that route. You should not feel guilty that you live in America and you get clean, you know, drinking water and all this other stuff. And there's other places they got to boil it or they got to do something with it just so that they can utilize it to cook their food. This isn't you're better than them. You know that. And that doesn't mean you're living abundant life above them. What it means is that God says, listen, this is not about your circumstances. It's about me and you. And many assume it's a different thing. Well, it's fate, luck, or whatever. That's not it at all. Well, let me give you another point. The abundant life means that there's an abundance of something. When there's that word abundant, it means there's something that's got a lot of it. So when we talk about the abundance life, that such a person is getting most out of life and they're living it to the full. Isn't that what you think? So listen, you don't have to have an outgoing personality. You don't have to be the loudmouth. I'll be that for all of us. You don't have to be the one that's ready to just stir the pot and make the party happy. You don't have to be just bounce off the wall kind of guy. You can be as meek as they are. You can just be sitting there, but that doesn't mean that you have been eliminated from the abundant life. It's not about performance or circumstances. It's about understanding that God wants to give you this abundance life. But abundance of something, it's abundance of something that he can do. So listen, that's why Jesus said in chapter 6, verse 1, do not worry about your life, what we will eat or drink or what we will wear. Abundant living will never come from all of the worries and all the things that we try to mass together to cause our experience to be meaningful. It'll be about what he did. It's a mistake to allow the urgent to cause us to miss the important. The important is asking the Lord Jesus Christ to do something exciting into your life that he's always planned to do already. The only thing he's got to do is convince you that it's available, and that's what he wants to do. So let's talk about what the abundant life is not. You know, there are five things I want to share with you real quick. Number one, it is not necessarily a life of comfort and ease. The abundant life is not necessarily a life of comfort and ease. Matter of fact, the more you experience abundant life, the more Satan on that radar of steal, kill, and destroy decides, I'm going to have to ratchet this up a little bit. You know, they're just having a little too much fun in the Lord. They're really depending on their prayers to be answered. They really do love God. Hey, they really do want to go to church. Did you see they're starting to give? They're starting to sacrifice. Now, we got to put a stop to this. I've never really heard that conversation, but I've been on the end of experiencing that's exactly what he does. And you have too. So when we do all this, we know it's not exactly a life of comfort and ease. Now, I stole this quote. It says, sometimes we go through the fire in order for it to melt away the iniquities, the impurities, I should say, inside of us. This is how God refines us. And that is why James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be hard, but it's not going to be easy. We should not fear what is going to be before us. I'll tell you what, my excitement for an abundant life often causes me not to worry about what it's going to take, because the goal is the abundant life. The goal is reaching what God wants me to do instead of going, wow, but if I do that, I'm going to have to do this and I have to do that. Have you ever noticed there's a lot of people out there, they don't want to improve their life because of what it's going to take to improve their life? Some of the things they're going to have to give up. Now, there's an older couple in our church. I've told this a couple of times, but I just think it's hilarious. They said that they used to know this pastor, and he had a bad knee. And he was always complaining about his knee, and it was obvious he had this bad knee. And finally, one night, they just surrounded him and said, Pastor, we're going to pray for your knee. We're going to pray God heals your knee. And he says, oh, no, don't do that. He said, if God heals my knee, I'll lose my disability. I thought, oh, my gosh. I think I'd rather be healed. It's amazing. We become so dependent on the mediocre life that we don't even desire the great life, if you will. The second thing, it's not dependent on our outside circumstances. It's not what happens to you that is nearly as important as what you do with it. Things happen, bad things, good things. God is looking for our responses to these things. And it's not about your circumstances. It's not if you are born in the right family. It's not if you're in the right side of town. It's what you do with all of that that's going to let you know whether you're going to have an abundant life or not. The third thing is it's not glamorous, it's not flashy, and it's not impressive. If you think it's that, then you're chasing the wrong thing. What you're chasing for is a prideful desire to be noticed. But I'm going to tell you, with the abundant life, sometimes it comes across in some of the greatest, most meekest ways. We've all rehearsed this comment. We are going to be amazed at the people that are going to have crowns, that are going to have assistance in wearing them in heaven because of all the things that they did, and we didn't know what they did. It was always in secret, or it was on their knees. It was their prayer life. It was their sacrifices, unknown to everybody here on earth, that are going to be honored in heaven. And you know what? I think it's just awesome. Because everything that we do, God tells us, listen, this isn't so people can see. This isn't about flashy. The abundant life is much like that small gate and the narrow way that he talks about in Matthew, the 7th chapter. You know what he says about that? Few people go there. Can I'm going to just tell you, the abundant life that we're talking about, and I'm using the abundant life more as a title than anything else, but the abundant life, getting deeper in God, getting greater in your heart and spirit, surrendering more and more of your spirit, Jesus using you, anointing you more and more and more, there are fewer and fewer people that are doing that. And we need to be a part of that few because it's all about what God wants to do with you. Number four, it's not necessarily obtained quickly. This isn't going to come quickly. This isn't just snap your fingers and here it comes. In fact, let's go to the next point. It's not easy to obtain. The abundant life here on earth, there's so many obstacles. There are so many things. You got to fight your flesh. You got to fight other people's opinions. You got to fight Satan. And all of a sudden, it's amazing. Maybe that's why some people don't even want the abundant life, because they feel like, well, we're defeated already. You ever notice that it's a lot easier to keep quiet than it is to stand up for something? It's a lot easier to just keep your mouth shut than to correct a problem. Because if I correct a problem, I might stir things up. I might offend somebody. Well, I got to tell you, we got to get rid of that if we're going to have the abundant life, much less do the right thing. Almost everything worthwhile is going to be harder to obtain. It's going to require an awful lot of more work. You ever heard this comment? If it were easy, everybody would do it. If it was easy, everybody would be rich. If it was easy, everybody. It's not easy. And it's not that we want everything to be difficult. We're just saying in this world it will be, but we got a prize waiting for us. I found this lesson, and it's not extremely spiritual, but it's pretty spiritual in nature. But I want to share it with you. I just titled it, "You're Living the Abundant Life When." Like I said, I didn't get this out of the Bible, but there's a whole lot of Bible in it. Number one, you are living the abundant life when you clearly understand that failure is an event, not a person. That yesterday ended last night, and today is your brand new day. That's an abundant life. Something happens every day. That you have made friends with your past, you're focused on the present, and you're optimistic about your future. If you could just get one of those right, we sure would appreciate it, especially the one about being optimistic about your future. Number three, you know that success doesn't make you and failure doesn't break you. Stop and think about these things. Success doesn't make you and failure doesn't break you. You are filled with hope and faith and love, and you live without anger, greed, or guilt and envy, and you have our thoughts of revenge. That's a pretty good picture, isn't it? Let's go to number five. You are mature enough to delay gratification and shift your focus from your rights to your responsibilities. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Anybody want to go political with me right there? Yeah, let's keep it spiritual, okay? Let's keep it out of Washington, D.C. But wouldn't it be cool if we started taking more effort to be responsible instead of demanding what we think is right and rightfully ours? You know that failure to stand up for what is morally right is the prelude to being the victim of what is criminally wrong. Man, we got to start stepping up for the right thing, regardless of what it costs. You are secure in who you are. You are at peace with God and in fellowship with man. Man, that's pretty cool right there. I am secure in who I am. That doesn't mean I'm proud or haughty, and I don't care what you think. But I'm secure, why? Because I have a relationship with God, and it causes me to have a relationship with you. Do you remember what it said in Luke, the first chapter, at the very end of that, when it starts talking about Jesus? Remember, he was left back there in Jerusalem? And the Bible says right then that from there he started growing in stature with God and with man. God wants to give you a great relationship with your friends and so along with him. You have made friends with your adversaries, and you have gained the love and respect of those you know best. You understand that others can give you pleasure, but genuine happiness comes from doing things for others. Boy, that's really hard to sink in, isn't it? If your goal every day is what can they do for me, you're probably going to be unsatisfied at the end of the day. But God somehow says, if you'll start with the faction of what can I do for them, what can I do for others, I will give you in abundance, taking care of you. You are pleasant to the grouch, courteous to the rude, generous to the needy. I tried to look for a better word, but I thought grouch sounds pretty good. I'll just leave it right there. You are pleasant to the grouch, courteous to the rude, and generous to the needy. Let's all go to Walmart. I'm telling you what, it's a jungle out there, isn't it? You meet people all the time. Somebody's just kicked their cat down the road, and you're the next domino in their line, and they just want to knock you off. They're just mad at the world. Listen, don't take it personal. Just be nice to them. Don't be that rude nice, okay? Oh, excuse me. Guess you just offended yourself, didn't you? Never mind, I'm going to move on. You love the unlovable. You give hope to the hopeless, friendship to the friendless, encouragement to the discouraged. By the way, if you want this list, I'll make it for you. You need to read it again. You can look back in forgiveness, forward in hope, down in compassion, and up with gratitude. This is a lot more than just playing a few tricks with words. You know that he who would be the greatest among you must become the servant of all. Well, if you want the top of the stack, then you better start serving at the bottom. You recognize, confess, develop, and use your God-given physical, mental, and spiritual abilities to the glory of God and for the benefit of mankind. Is this list getting too long for you? Yeah, it's just one more. When you stand in front of your Creator, you want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Can I just tell you, it is not greedy to want the abundant life. It is wrong to want it for your own personal use. It is wrong to want it because you think it will benefit you. But it is what God wants for you. It's one of the things that Jesus wanted to supply to us as he died on the cross. I love when you look at the cross, there's so many things that happened. It wasn't just forgiveness. And there's a whole lot of people that says, all I want to do is be forgiven. I just want to go to heaven. That's all. I don't want to be a great Christian here. I don't want to have to live an excited life. I don't want the Spirit stirring things in me. I don't want to do anything. I just want to slide by. Well, let me tell you what, you're going to slide all right, but it ain't going to be by. It's going to be down. It's not going to be where we want to go. I don't know why I'm talking like this. I'm just a little fired up, that's all. But I want us all to have the abundant life. I'm like you. I'm tired of mediocrity. I'm tired of normal. And we've settled for normal way too long. We don't want to disturb anything. We don't want to disturb the church service and get excited for crying out loud. Don't worry. Our ushers wouldn't know what to do with you anyway. Just get excited every now and then. That's what God wants. You know, they've often said this, 95% of the churches in America, they wouldn't know it if the Holy Spirit didn't show up on Sundays. Well, let's be the Holy Spirit through this. Let him give us the abundant life. It's okay to dream dreams. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to want more. It's okay to ask God to bless you. It's okay to want to benefit from his relationship with you because that's what he wants to do. But let him do it in his way, and it's called the abundant life. I just don't want to live on the bottom of the stack anymore. I want to get up there where God wants me to be, not because I'm above anybody, because I'm where he wants me to be. Listen, you can receive the abundant life. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it, but you can have it. There's this cool verse of scripture I'm stealing from Mark, the 11th chapter. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received, and it will be yours. And it will be yours. We've had problems with the prosperity gospel in preaching. There's been a whole lot of conflict, but there's a whole lot of agreement. And too often we've thrown it out the door because we didn't like the way it seemed to self-promote. But the problem is there's a lot of things that God wanted us to ask for and God wanted us to do. But we decided that, no, we need to leave those guys alone. They've blown it up all that. They just want to get a Learjet and a fancy car and a big church. Well, God says, you know what? I got some pretty big things I want to do in you. I want to give you the abundant life. You know what? The abundant life shows up first when you go to bed at night and you lay your head on your pillow and you feel the cleanliness in your heart because the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven you. And you know you're a born-again believer of God and you can walk with your head high because you know you are the redeemed. And God loves you and blesses you and there's nothing between you and God. You see that steal, kill, and destroy thing? Satan loves to come in and not only defeat you in your mind, but he wants to lead you down a path of sin. Whether it's secret sin or whether it's something that you just have a bad habit of, whatever, he just will do anything to wedge in there and get your mind about. The only thing he's really good at is distractions. You know what God's good at? Abundance. He's good at abundance. You see, it's still truth. I have come that they might have life and life to the full, the abundant life. Ask the worship team to come back quickly. We're going to wrap up and go to our fellowship in just a second. But I just have to ask you, are you living the abundant life? And if you're not careful, what you just heard me say is, are you doing the things that would let every one of us know that you're living the abundant life? You got to get your mind off real quickly as to how great you are as a Christian, how many times you've read the Bible, how much you pray. Those are just, this is byproducts of the abundant life. The abundant life is secure in just knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving his promise that he doesn't want you to just exist. He wants you to absolutely, what they say, Bob, I heard you say it after your wife, your precious wife, I'm not going to survive. I'm going to thrive. Because you know what? That's a human element right there. He just lost his wife. And, you know, everybody would give you permission to just glide. Everybody would give you permission and understand if you just want to be depressed, if you just want to go. And listen, I know you have your moments. I just said goodbye to my mom. It's not a wife, but it's a mom. But you know what? I would absolutely disappoint my mom if I just didn't absolutely honor her death and honor her life by loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all I got. We would have a conversation in heaven, and I've had too many with her on earth. I don't want that one either. God wants you to have the abundant life. Listen, if you haven't found the abundant life, it's yours for the receiving, but you got to ask. God wants to do something in our life tonight. As you stand and as they lead us in one last worship song before we go to our fellowship, I just want you to just kind of draw in with you and the Lord right there, and I just want him to just bless you tonight. Listen, I understand that it is not one of those things where, you know, this isn't a magic trick. This is God saying, I want to bless you. Ask me. Ask me. and let him lead you down the road of abundance. Abundance. Abundance in love. Abundance in joy. Abundance in forgiveness. Wouldn't it be cool if you were just surprised at the person that you don't even want to forgive, God gives you a love for them? Wouldn't that be cool? Be cool for them too, wouldn't it? Everybody stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to sing this one last song, but God, as we do, we're going to close in with you. We're going to create just a private little altar as we stand right there in our pew, and we want a private audience with you. And Lord, out of our lips and out of our heart and out of our spirit, it's going to be the cry, Father, I want to receive the abundant life. It was Jesus who introduced this concept. I didn't come up with this. We didn't come up with this. This is not some philosophical trick to make us feel better as Christians. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And tonight, Father, we're tired of just having an existence. We're tired of just making it by. We're tired of just concluding our day and glad that we did, but tomorrow comes another day. No, Father, we want the abundance of the Holy Spirit in our life. We want the abundance of the Spirit of Christ in our life. We want the abundance of the fellowship with our Father in our life. We want to fill you to the full, Lord God. We don't want to reference you on Sundays. We don't want to give you a few minutes through a devotional. We want to fill you every part of our day. Fill our life, Lord God, in abundance, Lord, Lord. Let it just overflow. So we need that, Lord God. We ask that. And as we close in our pews, and as the worship team leads us through this song, I pray, oh God, let it be. Let it be, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.